Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 150, which just so happens to be the last psalm. Lynn, I'll take that as a hint that I should stop telling my medical stories. Is that?
I would suggest you be very selective.
It reminded me, as he was talking about lining up the all our pregnant women up here a few weeks ago and praying for them, that particular week I was preaching on the dying with Christ, and that particular week was nurture. And if not for my secretary's trusty spouse, instead of nurture that week, it was going to be neuter. How appropriate for that week, Pat. He caught that there was a missing R there and corrected it. So I didn't want any of the ladies getting nervous or anything, you know. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you have breath this morning? Let's pray. Spirit, we know that You are here. But we invite Your presence to be magnified and multiplied. We invite Your presence. We invite You to speak. We invite You to change our hearts. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, amen. In this particular psalm, there's six verses to the complete psalm. In those six verses, 13 times the psalmist says to praise the Lord. You think he's trying to tell us something? And you notice that I love the way he just says, just praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Don't you just love that? You just praise Him. And we sang a song earlier, Blessed Be Your Name, and it said, praise Him in the desert, when the road is marked with suffering, praise Him. Blessed be Your name. Today's sermon, Choose Joy. Now, many of you probably reflecting back this past summer, I did a series, Don't Worry, Be Happy, if you remember that series. And we talked about joy in that series. But I really, as I was praying through what to speak today, I really felt that the Lord wanted us to revisit that. You know, I really think that what strikes me is this world, as you hear me say often, this world is tough. And it can drain us. It can drain us. It's like we got a hole in our toe, and our joy can just run out. And we have to be replenished. And we have to understand how to choose joy. Now listen to, this was written, a couple of thousand years ago, probably, by the author of Proverbs 17:22, and the passage says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now, we read that, and the psalmist didn't understand the physiological makeup of our bodies. He didn't understand, all of these the new scientific things we've discovered about our bodies. But listen to the truth of what the author of this proverb said many years ago. Today we understand that laughter, we understand scientifically that laughter reduces pain. Our bodies produce pain-killing hormones called endorphins in response to laughter. Did you know that scientifically we know that, did I pronounce that wrong? Okay. My girls laugh at me all the time. It really doesn't matter. I thought maybe I mispronounced it. But our body produces these endorphins when we laugh. The author of Proverbs says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Hello. Yeah. And laughter strengthens our immune system. A good belly laugh increases production of T cells, interferon, and immune proteins called globulins. And I discovered all that. I knew all that myself. But science has proven that to laugh strengthens our immune system. A cheerful heart is good medicine, the proverb says. It decreases stress to laugh. When we're under stress, we produce a hormone called cortisol. Laughter significantly lowers cortisol levels and returns the body to a more relaxed state. We understand that just joy, when it comes out of us, physically even, it makes a difference in us. And I tell people all the time that come to me that are struggling with depression. One of the things I say, I understand that there are certain types of depression that are medical, and there's different chemicals that can be out of balance, and I understand that's a separate thing. But if it's just I'm depressed because of the way things are going on in my life, the way things are turning out, or the place I'm in my life, you cannot be depressed when you're praising God. A cheerful heart is good medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. We are to choose joy. And there's a difference. We mistake happiness and joy, and I want to real quickly run through some of this, that happiness is tied, we talk about people saying, I just want to be happy. But it's tied to our circumstances. If things are going well, I'm happy. If things aren't going well, I'm unhappy. You understand? It is a matter of chance. It's tied to circumstances, this idea of happiness. And I think this past summer I talked about how that happiness is not going to, we're not going to find happiness because it's not looking for us. It's not like when all the stars are in alignment, and everything, that we're going to be happy. That's not how it works. Joy, on the other hand, this type of joy that we're talking about, this cheerful heart, this inner delight in God, transcends our circumstances. And it is a matter, catch this, it's a matter of choice. Did you know that you can choose to be happy or to be sad? We can. But many times when things are going wrong, and I'm a victim of it just as much as anyone, when things are not going the way we want them to go, when we've got a boss that maybe perhaps is not very nice, or a coworker that's perhaps not very nice to us, or when someone cuts us off in traffic, or when someone cuts in line at the grocery store, or when someone has over 10 items in the express lane. I was reading a little bit about joy this past week, and I read a story about a man, and he talked about how, I don't even remember the circumstances because I wasn't planning on using it, but it seems appropriate, that he was talking about how someone basically did something that was kind of, shady, and because of this the way what this person did. It cost his wife an extra. Oh, I remember what it was. It was the gas station. She went to get gas, and the station attendant overcharged her. And the man got home, and the husband was furious. And he calculated, and it was like $7 extra that she paid for this tank of gas that she shouldn't have. And he calculated, and he's like, I could have drove another 128.7 miles with the savings that I would have gotten from what he overcharged. And he was just furious about it. And a little bit later, the Lord kind of convicted him, and he realized that for $7, he had been robbed of his joy. How much is your joy worth? Is it worth $7? Is it worth 2 extra minutes because that person had 12 items instead of 10 and you have to wait behind them? Is it worth that? Our joy can be taken from us so easily, so quickly. It can be tied to these circumstances in our life. If I only had more money, I would be joyful. If I only were healthier, I would be joyful. As soon as I'm healthy and I have a lot of money, I'm going to be joyful, I promise. If I only looked better, if I looked younger, if I lost 10, 20, 100 pounds, whatever it is, if I had only had a better job, I would be joyful. If I had married the right person, I would be joyful. We attach all of these circumstances to our joy. It reminds me of the story about the man that walked into the hotel. Kind of an odd thing. He looked over in the corner and he saw 3 men and a dog playing cards. Really, that kind of gets your attention. And so he walked over to the table and he looked and the strange thing was not just that the dog was playing, the dog was winning. And he said, man, that looks like a pretty smart dog. And one of the men said, he's not that smart. Every time he gets a good hand, he wags his tail. I'll explain it to you later, Billy. Joy, friends in Christ, is the banner we fly in our lives as Christians. It's the banner proclaiming that Christ is our Lord. And He's the Lord of our lives. How many times do we pull the flag down? You know, I know many of you that fly your flag when a storm comes up or whatever, you pull the flag down to protect the flag. You know, when storms come in our life, do we pull that banner of joy in our lives, do we pull it down? I want to talk, it's amazing, where's Cindy? Cindy, the scripture you read today, you didn't know I was preaching on joy today, did you? It's amazing, that scripture, I'll refer to it in a few moments, but God knew. God knew that He wants us to hear something, church. First thing, how do you choose joy? The first way that you choose joy is you deepen your relationship with Jesus. And we talked about this last week in this equipping, that we're to be equipped Christians, and that's this deepening, that's this pressing in to God. And it's not about, you know, our time, our moment of salvation when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's not the finish line, but that's the starting gate. And when if we really want true, authentic joy in our lives, we've got to press in and deepen our relationship with Jesus. You know, because the thing is, our true joy is not rooted in our circumstances. Because guess what? Jesus was very clear. In this world, you will have trouble. Anybody besides me had trouble in this world? It's tough. People get sick. People die. We have financial problems. We have health problems. We have relationship problems. All sorts of things happen, but we want to choose joy. We must, if we want to, we must deepen our relationship with Jesus. Jesus himself said, remain in me and I will remain in you. And he goes on to say, I've told you this about remaining in me, this abiding in me. I've told you this, it says in John 15, so that your joy may be, so that my joy may be in you, and so that your joy may be complete. So Jesus is telling us something there. You want to be joyful? You want my joy to reside in you? Press into me. Abide in me. Remain in me. It goes on in Galatians tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, when we have invited Jesus into our lives and we have received his Holy Spirit, he empowers us to live. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you hear that? Joy. The fruit of the Spirit are those things. Press into Jesus. The second thing that we do to choose joy, set your heart and your mind on things of God. Colossians 3, we read, since then you have been raised with Christ. So you see there's this connection with Christ. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And Cindy said it earlier. I loved that. I've never thought of that, having a trigger point. Cindy, I love that. Something that triggers us, to reminds us, I'm a child of the King. I should praise him right now. I'm a child of the King. It says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What are earthly things? The things that drag us down. The bills, the dirty house, the relationship problems, the mean boss, all of those things that drag us down, those are the things, the earthly things. And what the Bible is telling us is, don't set your mind and your heart on those things. Set your mind and your heart on me, on things of God. Listen to Philippians. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Would we be depressed if we did this? Just those two verses? Would we be depressed? Problem is, we put more emphasis on our circumstances than on our King. That's the problem. Third thing, way that we choose joy. Repent. We don't like that word, do we? Repent of joy-robbing sin in your life. King David, I'm going to tell you, you need to read about King David and his journey and see, but this was God's chosen man. And it says in Scripture that he was a man after God's own heart. He and God were tight. Well, let's see what happened to David. He committed adultery, got the girl pregnant, tried to summon her husband back from battle that he was fighting for him and for the kingdom. He brings him back from battle, trying to trick him so he'll sleep with his wife so everybody will think that he's gotten his wife pregnant. The man is too admirable to do that, and he won't do it because he has too much respect for the other his friends that are back in battle, so he won't do it. So David panics and has him killed. Sends him back to the war with instructions, put him at where the fiercest fighting is, where he'll be sure to be taken out. So let's see here. We've got adultery. We've got lying. We've got a murderer. And this is God's man. Thank God that he is merciful. Listen to David's prayer when he is confronted with his sin. In Psalms 51, he says, have mercy on me, O God. blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Listen to this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. You see, the sin in David's life had robbed him of joy. He had no joy. He felt worthless. And yet, he cries out to God. He knows to cry out to God. He knows to repent of this joy-robbing sin in his life. He cries out to God, and what does God do? He has mercy. He has mercy on him. Sin in our life cuts us off from God and steals our joy. Fourth thing that we do to choose joy. Stop worrying and start praying. Stop worrying and start praying. And this is the passage that Cindy quoted to us earlier. Be joyful always. Do you hear that word? Some of these words just jumped out at me this week. Be joyful when circumstances are perfect. It doesn't say that. It says be joyful always. Pray sometimes. No, pray continually. Give thanks in most circumstances. No, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. His will for you and for me is to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. That's His will for us. That's His heart for us. Philippians 4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. There's that word again. I will say it again, rejoice. I think Paul's trying to tell us something as well. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and He has a promise attached to the end of this. You do that, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. Man, this joy thing, there's something to it, you think? The fifth way that we choose joy is to praise God in all circumstances. Praise God in all circumstances. I want to read to you again, since it's short, I want to read to you again this Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him with acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in all circumstances. Choose joy. And I want one note of warning here, and I talked about this. I think it might have been, it may have been last summer, it may have been a couple of years ago when I mentioned this. But H.B. London is the cousin of James Dobson, and very involved in the ministry of Focus on the Family to pastors. And Cheryl and I have had the blessing to meet HB a couple of times and get to know him just a little bit. Great, just wonderful man. But he talks about this. He has this phrase that he uses that I love. He says to avoid joy suckers in your life. And I'm not going to ask for any show of hands if you can think of any joy suckers in your life, but I know we each can. Which just people, people who don't understand this joy thing, and many times it's someone who doesn't know Christ, but unfortunately sometimes it's Christians. Sometimes they're in churches, In fact, that's where HB met most of them. He was a pastor for 30 years. Great place to meet joy suckers is in church. I don't know if you knew that, but hopefully we don't have any here. But he says to avoid joy suckers, and I would add on to that, don't be a joy sucker. You know, just people that just suck the life out of a room, when they walk in, you know, they just, the joy just goes somewhere. People, I don't know if we've realized this, but people, as I said earlier, joy is our banner that says, it's proclaiming that Jesus is our Lord. It's this banner over us. People are not attracted to bored, frowning Christians. Did you know that? They're not attracted to that. They're attracted to joy-filled people. Someone that they look at and maybe the world around them is just in utter chaos. Just reasons they should be just going crazy because of circumstances, and there's a peace. And there's a joy. It's not like ha-ha joy. It's a contentment that you know God's in control. Because those circumstances can weigh us down. But there's this peace and this inner joy that can illuminate from us when we're filled with the Spirit, when we choose joy. We can be like the dog at the card table. Just we're so excited about our hand that we have, and our hand is Jesus Christ. That's the hand that we've been dealt. And we're so excited we cannot contain ourselves. Our tail is just wagging. Are we tail wagging Christians? Are we joy suckers? I pray that we are tail wagging Christians. I hope you never get that visual out of your mind. I know I won't. And one of the things that that really we can be most joyful about is the fact that we have a God that became flesh in order to die for our sins, to pay the debt that we owed. Now that doesn't sound, you know, very joyful, but I'm telling you that is it. There's nothing that we should be more joyful about than that. That He saved us from our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believe in Him will have eternal life. For God so loved, put your name right there. For God so loved Jeff, put your name right there, that He gave His only Son. We come today to celebrate that we have a God that loves us that much. That on the very night that He was betrayed by His closest friends in the whole world, He was denied that they even knew Him. On that very night, knowing what was to come, He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body, broken for you." And then He took the cup, and knowing again what awaited Him the next day, He'd been telling the disciples for days and weeks what was coming. Knowing what was coming, He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all who would believe." I want to ask you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to have your own private prayer of confession. But before I do that, I want to invite you to this table, and I want to tell you that this invitation has not come from me, it has not come from our church. The invitation was from Christ Himself, and He said to do this in remembrance of Him. So the requirements to come to this table or that you repent of your sin, and that you call on the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's it. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a member of our denomination. You can be, this can be your first time in our sanctuary. You can be a visitor, anything like that. You are invited if you repent of your sin and you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I ask us now to go into prayer, silent prayer for just a moment, and to confess our sin before a holy and righteous God, a loving, compassionate God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. If those who are serving in the praise team and the sound team will come forward. Invitation has been given. If you would come to any of these stations that we've set up, and you will be given a piece of bread, dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The altar rail is open as well if you'd like to spend some time in prayer there. We have the center section for the individual cups and the individual crackers. There's a disposal for your cups there beside you. If you would like to be served in that manner, come.
Come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. Come ye sinners, you poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready, stands to save you. He's full of pity, love and power. And I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty. Glorified, true belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace. Heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry until you're better, you will never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace.
I will arise.
And I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Oh, there are.
Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do we praise the Lord? Do we choose joy this morning? Go and be joyful and go and tell someone. God bless you. We are dismissed.
Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name.